The Wall Street Journal podcast are brought to you by American Express. No matter what you do, from business and finance to a podcast about business and finance, it's easier when you don't go it alone. The powerful backing of American Express. Don't do business without it.
Your Money Briefing. Money and market stories from the Wall Street Journal.
I'm J.R. Whalen in New York. Are ETFs getting a bad rap when the topic is market disruptions? We'll take a closer look in a moment. First, these money headlines. Ahead of the height of the Atlantic hurricane season, government data indicates many U.S. homeowners are inadequately insured for natural catastrophe damage, often failing to increase policy limits if they expand or upgrade their homes. This was most pronounced in the wake of three major landfalling hurricanes in 2017, Harvey, Irma, and Maria, that revealed a widespread lack of full insurance coverage for homeowners in Texas, Florida, Puerto Rico, and elsewhere. And hurricanes weren't the only disaster that exposed issues last year. Following devastating wildfires in Northern California in October, the consumer advocacy group United Policyholders said that two-thirds of the victims said their insurance wouldn't fully cover the cost of repairing or replacing their homes. Meanwhile, housing starts declined 2.3% in June from the prior month to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of about 1.2 million. It was the largest monthly percent drop in about a year and a half, driven by construction declines in all regions of the U.S. for almost all types of housing. And the drop could point to construction labor shortages and rising material costs causing more damage to the housing market than many analysts initially believed. At the same time, residential building permits, which can signal how much construction is in the pipeline, fell 2.2% from May, which surprised economists who were expecting a 2.2% gain in June. And companies like Amazon, Target, and Walmart are trying to solve one of the toughest problems in home grocery delivery, getting food to doorsteps in the same condition consumers would expect if they went to the store themselves. And Fresh Direct has built a 400,000-square-foot automated distribution center in the Bronx, New York, in hopes of cutting down the time it takes to get fish, for example, from the boat to the dinner table. And timing is essential. Delivering perishable products is more of a challenge than dropping off, say, paper towels or dog food. Fruit can be bruised, meat spoils, and eggs break. Botched deliveries can also upend dinner plans, leaving customers angry and hungry. While online sales at $14 billion remain just a morsel of the more than $700 billion-plus U.S. grocery market, U.S. e-commerce sales of food and alcohol are projected to reach roughly $40 billion by 2021. This is your Money Briefing from the Wall Street Journal. Welcome back, everybody. There's a concern among some investors that an influx of money into passive investments, including ETFs or exchange-traded funds, could possibly disrupt the markets in a widespread fashion. But Wall Street Journal reporter Ajlan Loder is here to explain why that fear could be overdone. So Ajlan, S&P Global has answered these concerns, and they say that, yes, the money flows can swing stocks, but that's about it.
Yeah, and this is the latest in a long-running debate about the impact of passive investing on the markets. And what S&P concluded was quite interesting. They looked at all index strategies, ETFs, mutual funds, and they concluded that on February 8th, when the market was down almost 3.8%, that index strategy outflows accounted for about a third of that, which, you know, is not inconsiderable.
And can you just explain the differences between ETFs and mutual funds for a moment? They have a lot of similarities, but also some key differences.
Yeah, so exchange-traded funds, just like mutual funds, take, you know, every stock in, say, the S&P 500 and wrap it into sort of a single easy package. The difference here is that exchange-traded funds can be, as the name implies, bought and sold on the exchange all day, whereas mutual funds can't. And there are some who say that the tradability really attracts people who want to buy and sell them far more quickly, and that that means that flows are sort of sloshing in and out of the markets at a greater velocity than they had in the past.
There's an interesting characteristic of ETFs that you mentioned in your story, in that they may buy more of a stock that is readily available, and that could sway prices.
Yeah, this was an interesting point that the S&P researchers made, which is that most indexes are based on the market value of a company, and so they're going to buy in proportion to whatever, you know, Walmart's share of the index is. But they're going to ignore, you know, how much daily volume is available in that stock, what's the depth of book, how much is actually on the market, and they're very price insensitive in the way that they buy and sell. They need to buy those stocks in that proportion, and that's what they'll do, whereas an active manager might look and say, you know what, I've bought a lot, the price is starting to move ahead of me, why don't I step back a bit, wait, maybe do the rest of my trading later. And generally speaking, passive funds don't do that.
So not all stocks react the same way to surges of cash coming in.
It's really dependent on the liquidity in the individual stocks. And what's interesting that S&P tried to do here is to measure why some stocks might be more sensitive to index flows than others. And how can you quantify that? And as an investor, look at the market and plan for that.
And at the start of the interview, you mentioned there's a debate underway involving passive investments and ETFs and strategies like that. What is this debate all about?
In the past decade, assets in passive funds that try to match the market rather than beat it have quintupled to $6.9 trillion. That's a figure from Morningstar. And as this has happened, in recent years, you've seen ETFs especially linked to price distortions in oil futures, VIX futures, Japanese equities, or gold mining stocks. So I don't think this is going to be the end of this debate.
So people are branding ETFs as the bad guy here, and that may not necessarily be the case.
Well, they're the most visible piece of the passive investing market, and they tend to be the most sort of hotly traded. But they're not the only piece of passive investing. And the real question is as people become more passive, does that muddle the price signals? Does it create higher correlations among stocks? Are stocks that are in indexes more volatile? And these are questions that a lot of researchers are looking at.
All right. So there could be more chapters to come here. That is Wall Street Journal reporter Ajlan Loader joining us here in our studio. Ajlan, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.